Thank you, Mr. Pattinger, and good morning, everyone. This past week, there was a notable funeral. Many television commentators began a message with somber intonations along these lines. This week, the 41st President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, passed away. Passed away? He died. Passed away is a euphemism that has crept into our lexicon. We use it a lot. Of course, you all know what a euphemism is. A euphemism is a polite, indirect expression that replaces words or phrases that are considered a little too harsh or impolite or to soften something that would otherwise be unpleasant. A euphemism is, we refer to it as an idiomatic expression because the actual words spoken by the euphemism no longer have their actual meaning and instead they refer to something else. We do know passed away is a euphemism for died. But according to a United Kingdom website that researches the origin of various phrases, they gave us some background on this idea, pass away. Pass away may be one of the oldest euphemisms known in English. It was coined in a time and a place, the early 15th century in England, when most people believed that the departing of the soul of a dead person was a literal physical event. Indeed, back then, passing away did not mean dying, as it does now. When wakes were held, and if you have any Irish background, you know for sure what a wake is, where you basically gathered with lots of people to celebrate the life of a departed person, but sometimes it became very interesting, not necessarily focused on the person. But when wakes were held for recently deceased people, the attendees believed that the dead person could hear and comprehend everything that was being said. It was only later, when the funeral rites were completed, that the dead person passed away and began a journey toward either heaven or hell. As such, pass away would not have been considered a euphemism back then. It was described as a literal view of the events. The Lay Folks Mass book from around 1400 has a very early use of the term passed away. Now it appears in Middle English, and I have trouble enough with current English, so we won't do it in Middle English, but if we were to read it now, it went something like this. Grant rest and peace to Christian souls passed away. So the euphemism pass away, is, as we commonly use it today, is actually rooted in the belief of the immortality of the soul and going to heaven or hell. Now, this message, despite what you may be thinking, is not really about avoiding the euphemism passed away in place of someone died. If that's the message you get out of it, well, that's okay. But there's actually a more important point here, that the phrase pass away or variations of passing away appears repeatedly in the Bible. I looked at quite a number of scriptures, and there are lots of things that pass away, a lot of things that don't pass away. And I thought, well, how do I organize this? Well, it could be like a deck of cards. You know, you got red cards and you got black cards. I could tell you. Pass away on this deck. No, doesn't pass away on this deck. Yes, pass away. Yes, pass away. No, doesn't pass away. Don't worry, I'm not going through all 52 cards. But when I thought about how do I present it that way, it didn't really seem to mesh and make a lot of sense. And what I discovered is if I took the two stacks like a deck of cards and carefully shuffled them together in the right order, there was actually a coherent theme. And we will come to that theme after we've examined a number of the scriptures. So, if you are one who likes to take notes, we're going to look at a number of categories, And some of the categories will be things that pass away. So in my notes, I've got a big why for the first category, which means, yes, they will pass away. For other categories, I got a big N for no, they will not pass away. So let's look at our very first category. Category number one, a big why. And we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7 to figure out what it is we're going to look at. We're going to read verses 1 to 3 in Jeremiah chapter 7 and then move from there. Verses 1 to 3 give us a little background of the subject matter. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Eternal saying, "Stand in the gate of the Eternal's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Eternal, all you of Judah who enter into these gates to worship the Eternal. Thus says the Eternal of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." So this is a word to Jerusalem, and specifically those coming to the temple. Now, chapter 8 and verse 5, because the thought continues. "Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return." Now, we're picking one verse out of a whole series of castigations of the people of Judah. Now, verses 12 through 13. "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Eternal. I will surely consume them, says the Eternal. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them." So in this series, our first category of things that do or don't pass away is a warning that national and personal blessings will pass away when God's people move to sin. That's a warning for the nation, and it's a warning for Christians individually to keep in mind. God's blessings can pass away when we sin. Let's go to category number two. This one also has a big why for yes at its beginning. And we're going to find the scripture in Psalm 37. So turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 37. We're going to read verses 34 through 36. "Wait on the Eternal and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a tree, like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found." Interestingly enough, evil men will pass away. It's part of God's plan. In due course, evil will be repaid, and the evil will not persist. We're going to back up in that chapter and read a couple of earlier verses now that we've seen that the evil men will pass away, because there are other parts of this that are worth noting as well. Verses 1 to 2, still in chapter 37 of Psalms. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Eternal and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." And now verses 7 through 10. "Rest in the Eternal and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Eternal, they shall inherit the earth." So from these verses in Psalm 37, we see that evil men will pass away. Our next category, category number three, with a big Y for yes. Something else that's going to pass away. We're still in the book of Psalms, but let's go now to Psalm 78. We're going to start reading in verse 34, but the backdrop of Psalm 78 is Israel's rebellion, continual rebellion, and a rehearsal of the way they rebelled against God and showed lack of faithfulness during the wilderness period and their exit from Egypt and thereafter. Verse 34, when he slew them, again, these are the sinning Israelites, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. As we can see from this verse, mankind in general will pass away. And the context here is that Israel wasn't destroyed because God realized they're just temporary humans. They may be rebelling now, but they will pass away. It's true of all of us, all mankind. We're still in this category, but we're going to look at a similar verse, a series of verses from the book of James. If you'll turn with me to James chapter 9, let's say James chapter 1 and verse chapter 9, because you're going to be spending a lot of time looking for James chapter 9. It's not there. James chapter 1 and verse 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Here in James, the rich man is just being used as a metaphor of mankind in general. Now, granted, James is talking about differences between the rich and the poor, but the idea is it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Mankind in general will pass away. Still in this category, we're going to turn to Psalm 103. I love Psalm 103. It is one of the most beautiful poetic passages to my thinking, and it's so encouraging as well. Psalm 103, and we'll begin in verse 8. The Eternal is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Eternal pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. So mankind in general will pass away. But the next two verses are amazingly encouraging. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Eternal is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commands to do them. So we can be encouraged that even though mankind will pass away, God has something greater in mind, and his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, a hint of things to come. Our next category, Category number four. This one, we're going to switch colors of our suit of cards, and we're going to one with a big N for things that will pass away, or will not pass away. Yeah, I confused you. I confused me. It happens sometimes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. For things that sometimes do not pass away. We'll begin reading in verse 36. This is Jesus' last few hours on earth before he is crucified, right before his arrest. Then Jesus came with them, the disciples, to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, verse 42. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." In verse 44. So he left them and went away and prayed again the third time, saying the same words. It seems that some trials must be endured. They simply don't just pass away. Now, it's very hard for us to know which ones must be endured and which trials God is going to remove so that they might pass away from us. We won't turn there, but note down Psalm 34 and verse 17, which says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them from all of their troubles." Sometimes that deliverance comes from answered prayer. Sometimes that deliverance may eventually come even by way of death. It takes great faith to trust that God will provide the deliverance in the right time and in the right manner. But some trials don't pass away. They simply must be endured until God chooses to remove them finally. Our next category, category number five. This one is pulled a joker out of the deck because it's got a little of both, a little no, a little yes. So let's go to Matthew 5. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. We'll read verses 17 and 18. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, heaven and earth, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled." So you see there, we've got the blend. We've got a little yes and a little no. The interesting thing is that the law of God will not pass away. So that's our no. But there's a hint in that verse that heaven and earth may pass away. And we're going to return to this idea a little bit later. So let's go to our next category. Category six. This one's got a Y for yes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is Paul writing. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Interesting here, those who are in Christ. And how do we become in Christ? It's through repentance, baptism, receipt of the Holy Spirit, and continuing to live in the law and the way of God. When those things happen, all things associated with the past life, the past ways of living, including the penalty for past sins, those will pass away. They're gone. Very encouraging thought. Let's go to our next category. My notes say count, it's number 7. I hope I haven't skipped something, so maybe my notes will match with yours. This one also has a big Y for yes. We're going to find it in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, we're going to read verse 5 and then move a little bit from there. 1 John 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that we're talking about darkness. Now, chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Now, verse 17 in this chapter. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So the good news is that the darkness of this current world will pass away. And the darkness is great. That is something we desperately want to see pass away. The darkness of this world. Next category, this one has a big N for no. We're going to go back to the book of Matthew, Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 32 through 34. This is referred to as the Olivet Prophecy, and there's a lot that occurs before we get to verse 32 and through 34 as Jesus starts giving the signs of the end and of his return. Now, verse 32, after those have been recounted, here's what verse 32 says. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So we see several concepts together, but the point we're teasing out of this series of verses is that when all of these prophetic events start taking place, in truth, as opposed to just speculation about whether events are doing it, the generation on the earth, that last generation, will not pass away until all the prophesied events of his return take place. We can look forward to that time. And when we pray, your kingdom come, that's what we're praying for, that these events will occur. Our next category. We just read it, so you don't have to turn. So let's read verses 34 and 35 again. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will be by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus' words of prophecy to this end time generation, whether it's us or some who follow after us, that's not the point of this message. It's in his control, but his words of the prophecy will not pass away for that end time generation. And once again, we see a hint. Heaven and earth will pass away. We'll come back to that thought again momentarily. Our next category has a no. Big N. We're going to find it in Daniel chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14, Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel 7 is about Daniel's vision of the four beasts. And after he talks about the four beasts and their characteristics and what they do, we get to verse 13 and read verse 14. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming from the coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So they're bringing one who is like the Son of Man before the Ancient of Days. Then to him, the one like the Son of Man, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Then all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. So the good news is that the kingdom of God under the rule of the Messiah will not pass away. Next to last category, a big why for yes. We'll find this in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. And we're returning to some hints that we saw in our prior verses, in some of our prior verses. 2 Peter 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So confirming the hints we saw in prior verses, the heavens, the earth, the things that we see of the cosmos, they too eventually will pass away. Our final category, this one has a yes because it's focused on very closely on what we saw in 2 Peter. This one we'll see in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. So this one, even though it starts with a yes, it's also one of those jokers. It's a wild card. It's got a little yes and a little no in it. Verses 1 through 5 of Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he said, he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So the heavens and the earth, everything we know about this physiochemical existence of the universe, all that science has peered into, will eventually pass away. It will be gone, but it will be replaced by something new. Now to chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. Continuing with this theme of the New Jerusalem. 22, verses 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, This is talking about the city, the New Jerusalem. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is what does not pass away. Earlier I said these scriptures seem to tie together and constitute a theme. First, let's review what we've seen from these various verses. National and personal blessings will pass away when God's chosen people sin. Evil men will pass away. Mankind in general is temporary. We will pass away. Some trials don't seem to pass away and simply must be endured. The law of God will not pass away. Upon baptism and the receipt of the Holy Spirit, all things associated with the former life and the death penalty for past sins will pass away. The darkness of this world will pass away. The end time generation, when the prophetic events of Matthew 24 actually occur, will not pass away until all the prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus' words of prophecy to that end time generation will not pass away. The kingdom of God under the rulership of the Messiah will not pass away. But of the hints we did see, the heavens and the earth will pass away. All aspects of this physical existence that we've known will pass away to be replaced by something new, ruled by the family of God and the Father and the Son themselves. These things will not pass away. So now for the theme. All the things of men will pass away. The things of God will not pass away. Let's focus on that which is permanent. And have a great Sabbath.